Hello, my name is Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's Eaton. You may be listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries on the internet. We're going to pray that God will move in mighty and awesome ways. Now, let's get into the Word.
Service, prayer for our church family. Amen? Amen. I think also God knows what we need before we get to it. And this month, which is July the 1st, will be designated the month of peace. The month of peace. And what is the opposite of peace? Chaos. War. We can see strategically the devil wants war and chaos to break out this month. But God has already designated peace month. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Be at peace. In Jesus' name. The Bible says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for us to dwell in unity and harmony and in love. That sounds like peace to me. And peace is a characteristic of people who conquer. During this year of God, we are studying throughout this whole year the fruit of the Spirit and any derivative of the fruit of the Spirit. Last month was joy. This month is peace, and we're going to be abiding in the peace of God this month. Amen? Tonight's lesson is entitled, The Peace of God. The Peace of God. And we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. I want you all to read this together on three. This is the NIV, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Let's read this together on three. One, two, three. Amen and amen. Again, we're talking about tonight the peace of God, the peace of God, which is the title of that painting there. And tonight we're going to be looking at in the text, we're going to be looking at the prayer in the text, we're going to be looking at the peace in the text, and we're going to be looking at the practice in this text. We want you to know tonight that Christians should pray to God for peace. Christians should pray to God for peace. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, pray for the peace of Bethlehem. Say to your other neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, pray for the peace of Bethlehem. And you know why. And you know why. Again, the opposite of peace is war. And if you look at any of many of the warring nations, you will see that they are nations that are not prosperous because there is no peace. If you look at any church that is battling with one another and each other, you will see that there is no peace in that church, there's no prosperity in that church. You see at any company where they're battling with one another, you'll see that in the company where there is no peace, there is no prosperity. And if you ask somebody whether you want war or peace or prosperity, most people will choose prosperity even over peace, but you need peace before you can prosper. Hello? So in this text, we're going to talk about the peace of God, which we need as a church, which you need in your family, which you need at your job, which you need in your marriage. Hello? A marriage lacking peace is a couple that's bickering and arguing all the time. Hello? They can't get along over anything, just arguing mad over every little thing. And you get a person in that family who has no peace with inside him or herself, they will always be battling against you no matter what you do. You can dot every I and every and cross every T, and they'll make up something to battle about. If you're married to a person that doesn't have any peace in their hearts, dare I say, peace is important. It has to be important because it's considered a part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's one of those few characteristics in which God says is symbolic of a true Christian. Young man that I know of, every church he's ever been in, he's always had a problem with leadership. Always wanting to meet and try to solve the issues. There's only one problem. He's the only one with the issues. He's wasting everybody else's time. Acting like he really wants peace when in his heart there is war. These kind of people, they can waste your day, waste your time, but you don't waste time with people like that if you see somebody that has never been a part of a team. Anybody in here that's been a part of a team sport, never been successfully, we'll say, a part of a team, because you can be a part of a team, but not be successful. Or be a part of a church but not be successful because you can't get along with nobody. And you think everybody else has a problem. Have you ever seen those kind of people? Can't get along with nobody and think everybody else is the problem. Wait a minute. Maybe the problem is you. Maybe the problem is you. And maybe you need to pray for the peace of God. You don't have to fight for everything. Matter of fact, you're supposed to let God fight your battles anyway. Hello? I know many of you had it hard and you had to try to make it on your own, and you pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps. Maybe you wouldn't have had it so hard if you'd allowed God to fight your battles. Hello? So we're going to pray tonight for the peace of God, and the first thing you'll see for people who do not have peace is that they are anxious and that they don't pray. Prayerlessness leads to anxiety. Prayerlessness leads to anxiety. Oh, we're going to talk about point number one in the text, prayer. The prayer, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Be not anxious, a Greek word that means to be troubled with care. Troubled with care. Write that down. Troubled with care. Because you can be anxious about some stuff that is good. Hello? Troubled with care. Maybe it's that child that's out there wayward. And you're troubled with care about him or her. Grown. But they're causing you anxiety. One theologian, as I was studying this text, says that anxiety and worry is a sin. Anxiety and worry. You mean, preacher, it's a sin for me to be anxious or to worry about my children? Yes, it is. What do you mean, preacher? It's a sin for me to be worried about being laid off at work. My job is a good thing. My job is how I pay the bills. That seems like the right thing to do. Yes, it is a sin to be anxious, to be troubled with care. It is a sin. Because if you're troubled with care, that means that you're not doing something. It says, be anxious about, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Don't be anxious about, don't be troubled with care about anything, anyone, anybody, any boss, any wife, any child, any bank account, any car, any. But in everything, see, you can't have a negative thought and a positive thought in the same place. Hello. And so it says, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Right here it says, worry. It's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. It gives you something to do. You're sitting in the rocking chair. Whoa, 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 whoa. Rocking. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, that whoa, that whoa, my bank account. Oh, that old hoopty call. Oh, I'm single. Oh, I'm married. It's rocking. Whoa, 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 whoa. I just turned 40 years old. Whoa, whoa. It's rocking. It gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. Hello? That's like waiting at a bus stop and letting the bus go by. Giving you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. Give you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. Anybody tell me what Matthew 6, this is an excellent chapter for you to study on your own. Matthew 6, 25. Can anybody tell me what that is talking about? Huh? It's talking about worry. What does it say about worry? Amen. Do not worry. Okay, preacher, what am I going to do if I don't worry? It's in the text. Pray. And it's real easy to flip because there's stuff that you're worrying about. Why don't you just put God in it? Say, God, I'm concerned about this. You're already worried about it anyway. Why don't you put God in it? Say, God, I'm worried about my hood. God, I'm worried about my job. God, I'm worried about my children. God, and I'm praying so I won't worry, Father. So take this anxiety away from me. And people who become too anxious end up being depressed. And depression is not anything to play with. Because some people wear themselves literally to death. Literally to death. So say to your neighbor, 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 oh neighbor, don't worry, pray for the peace of God. This is what happens when you pray, when you do the right thing. This is a promise that you get. Talk about peace in the text. And after you have prayed, and also, as I talked about Sunday, giving thanksgiving, you always thank God. God always, it's been my experience, he always leave you with something. There's always something. With Job, he was left with his breath, which was something. Because that breath that he breathed would be the same breath that he would be taking when he would get blessed again, double fold. Took everything, his health, everything from him, in support of his wife, his children, but left his breath. The devil couldn't kill him. So because he was breathing, he would be able to stay alive enough to be blessed double. To be blessed double. So God always leaves something, and you can always thank God for something. Somebody may have just got their car repoed today, but thank God I still have my two legs. I can walk. There's always something left, always something to thank God for. You may be dealing with a trial, or this church may be dealing with a great trial, but thank God. There's always something to be thankful for. Hello? And it's that thanksgiving and that praise that God, as we learn, inhabits or is enthroned upon. And if God is inhabiting your life and is enthroned upon your life, then all this is a test. So that you can eventually get a testimony. What does a teacher do when they give you a test? They hand you out a paper, hand you out the test, hand you out the test, hand you out the test. And then what do? They go and they sit somewhere and they don't say nothing. You have a question, teach. Some Christians think that in that quiet time when God is testing them that they have been forsaken. It's not that they have been forsaken. God is still there waiting for you to do what? Pass the test. Hello? Give me my cheese back. Oh, you cheese. No, I'm just kidding. Waiting for you to pass the test. That's the importance of peace, is in those quiet times when you're taking the test, you have to be at peace and know, God, I know you're still at the head of the class. God, you gave me this test, so evidently you gave me the answers. And the thing about God's test is that he says that if you lack wisdom, what? That's pretty deep, isn't it? He's not going to give you a test that he doesn't already give you the answers to, what they call that at school. An open book test. Hello? God only gives open book tests. Hello? And that's why you should be at peace at all times, because when you're at that open book, you can always ask God for through prayer for the answers. And once you ask God for the answers, you can get that peace. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will what? Will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. We talked about Sunday overcoming a troubled heart. If your heart is troubled, that means you haven't prayed. And if you haven't prayed, you don't have any peace. And if you don't have any peace, then that means your heart is not guarded, neither is your mind. That's pretty deep, isn't it? That's pretty deep. The peace of God. And also, it's not only that, you guard your heart and mind by prayer, but also you guard your heart and mind by what you put in it. For it says, the next part of that in Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. And that's why you will very rarely see me, especially in the morning time, watch the news. Because if you watch the news, within a 15-minute span of time, you probably heard 15 to 20 stories about something that happened that was not lovely. Some of it is not true. None of it is noble. None of it is lovely. None of it is admirable. None of it is excellent. You might get one excellent story in the whole crowd about somebody being on the honor roll or something. But most of it is not praiseworthy. And we as Christians, we get our minds bogged down with the stuff of the world that's going on in the world. And some of it is not true. Most of it, again, is not noble. Most of it, some of it is not right, rumors and all of that. Most of it is not pure. A lot of it is not lovely. Seems like to me that we need to spend our time, especially in the morning, because you're going to start your day the way you're going to end it. It seems like to me that we probably, especially in the morning time, need to meditate on what is holy. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, you want peace in your mind? Put God's word in your mind. I don't want to start meddling, but seems like that's all that the preacher gets to do most of the time. When you count your hours of TV as opposed to Bible reading, count the time that you spend reading the newspaper, watching the news, morning news, reading the newspaper, the late news. Some of you don't go to bed until you see the late news. How much of that time is meditating on what is holy? How much of your time is meditating? Maybe that's why you don't have peace of mind. Because this world programs your mind. Many this last week have been programmed by the death of Michael Jackson, Farrah Fawcett, Ed McMahon. I think there's another actor that died. That alone in and of itself is enough to get you depressed, especially if you love you some Michael Jackson songs. You grew up on Michael Jackson. Hello? It can cause you to be sad. Never knew it. Never met it. If you did, maybe you got an autograph and a picture, but that's it. Hello? We need to meditate on what's holy if we want the peace of God. We have to pray, and then the peace comes by meditating on the holy things of God. Holy things of God. And I'm not saying that you can't do some of the stuff that I'm saying, because, you know, I hate the extreme of that Christian that can't do nothing, can't see nothing, can't do nothing, can't see a movie, can't watch TV, can't watch it. Well, now what you can't do, what can you do? I'm not saying that's the kind of person that you need to be, but I am saying you need to spend a lot of your time meditating on what is holy. Not gossiping, and not even being mad about what happened Sunday. Some folks spent most of their time this last week saying, what happened Sunday? I can't believe it. talking and gossiping. Is that holy what you're doing? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? Hello? We want the peace of God. We have to pray. And the peace comes by meditating on what is holy. And when you meditate on what is holy, you guard your heart and you guard your mind in Christ Jesus. Amen? Okay, so we talked about the peace of God. We have to deal with the peace of the prayer in the text. We deal with the peace in the text. But also, we have to deal with the practice in the text. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Are you practicing to be a Christian? Say it again. Say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Are you practicing to be a Christian? If you were probably to ask any pro player, maybe TJ, when the season starts, ask him, how much time do you spend in practice? Before the season, out in the morning, and at night, they have two-a-days, okay, practicing. And this is the pros. And that's on the field. Well, you're on the field, and you're running through your plays. But that's not it. Before they get to the field, they have a playbook about this thick, and they have to study that playbook and know every play in regards to them. So their practice is not only in the field, but their practice is in a classroom. A lot of times, especially at the beginning of the season, a lot of times they're spending a lot of times in the classroom as well as on the field. And that's practice. And that's practice. So again, I ask you, are you practicing to be a Christian? Are you practicing to be a Christian? Are you practicing? Before you get on the field in the real game. Now, this is what they do before the real game. Before you get into real life, before you talk to your wife, before you go to your job, before you do anything, what are you doing to practice? That's pretty deep, isn't it? What are you doing to practice your Christianity? He says in this text, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. You see, God only gives peace to those people who practice. They say, preacher, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. James 1:22. It says in the NIV, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Do what it says. Practice. Say to your other neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Do what it says. Practice. Now let's say to the preachers, preachers! Oh, preacher! Oh, preacher! Oh, preacher! Practice! Do what it says! Because a lot of times it's the preachers that's not practicing that causes a lot of people to stumble. And that's what we're going through right now. Hello? And God holds us even more accountable. We will be held more accountable because we don't do what it says. Oh, we got to look down. It's easy to put on a suit and a tie. We got our shoes shined. We have our haircuts. Oh, we're driving in nice cars. Oh, we look sanctified and holy. But you can be doing all that and not doing what the book says. Hello? Have an appearance of holiness. Have an appearance of being blessed. A lot of times people won't follow a preacher in a hoopty. Why is that? Because they don't take him blessed. God's not blessing him. He ain't going to bless us. That's why some churches buy they pastor a car. Or lease they pastor a car. Hello? I ain't saying it's right. A lot of times we're more into appearances than practices. Just look right. That's all we want you to do, preacher. Just look right. You don't have to be right. Just look right. Just preach up. Preach to me. Preach me happy. When you get to the end of the sermon, always hoop me into heaven. And I say, praise the Holy Name. Oh, yes, sir. Praise God. Oh, and I say, hey, hallelujah in the house. Oh, let's jump. Let's shout. Let's praise His Holy Name. Oh, yeah! Shout me in the heaven, preacher man. Y'all didn't know I could hoop, did you? He said, no, you can't back. He said, stick what you get. I'm teaching Brian, too. He goes. So that preacher crazy boy. But practice, that's the most important thing. And a lot of times practice ain't gonna make you happy. Don't you know you can be doing right and not feel good about it? Because your flesh is mad. Hello? That's practice. That's practice. A lot of times practice is not fun, but it's necessary. That's if you really want to win. Most great athletes are not just known for game day. Many of them are known for the way they practice. Jerry Rice, the greatest wide receiver of all time, they said, boy, that boy practiced like he was in a real game. Practice. Michael Jordan, boy, he practiced like he was in the game. Practice. Whatever, he says, you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it to practice. That's deep. Just being able to say that in and of itself. Can you say that? Can you say that to your children? Whatever you have learned, whatever you received, whatever you heard. Uh-oh, heard. I've been around some folks' kids and wonder where they pick up the language from. Hey, Pastor, oh, it's that cable show they must have been listening to. Pastor, it's that Cartoon Network they picked that up from. No, it wasn't that Cartoon Network, it was you. He says, man, this is deep. If you're not there yet, we hope that you will get there. Whatever you learned or received or heard from me or seen in me. Many times it's hard to get the next generation to come because they've seen us do some stuff that we shouldn't be doing. They heard us say some stuff that we shouldn't have been saying. But we forgot to practice. We forgot to practice. He says, put this into practice. And the God of peace, we're talking about the God of peace, will be with you. So do not merely listen to the word. Because when you just listen to the word, don't you know you just deceive yourself? You know, I can tell a lot of times when I'm just up here preaching. Because some people just like to listen to me. They ain't going to do what I'm saying, but they just like to listen. That preacher's crazy. Let's see what he do today. He going to spin on his head today. What he going to do? You remember he fell in the Baptist tree? What he going to do today? Oh, how amusing it is. Put on the show. Let's pop some popcorn. No. That's why I put it up. Some people say, I do better without the PowerPoint. Well, I'm trying to teach. I'm trying to teach. And I want you to see that I'm not just talking about myself. This is straight from the Word of God. And I put it up in here by verse so you can see it for yourself. Now, if you can see it, let's do it. Don't just deceive yourself by only listening. Do what it says. You have the peace of God. That's a blessing. Many times I wish, because I sit back and I see people make the mistakes, the same mistakes over and over again. Going around in circles. They're not listening. They're not doing what it says. Just wandering around in circles. They hear. They're not doing what it says. If we want the peace of God, if we want to truly want to be blessed, again, we have to do what it says. And tonight it tells us to what? It tells us to pray. Why don't you try it for a change? Why don't you set out 30 minutes in the morning to practice it? That means before you get into the real game, before you talk to your wife, before you go to work, before you talk to your children, practice it. Why don't you pray? Practice prayer. Practice the peace principle by dwelling only on the positive things of God. Do it. It will revolutionize your life. It will revolutionize your life. And all the things that you, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, as your pastor and seen enemy, put it into practice. I try to model myself as a sincere Christian, though I'm not perfect. No one will ever be perfect. That's why I'm the under-shepherd. Jesus is really the shepherd. Did y'all know that? A lot of times we try to take his position. No, I'm the under-shepherd. But do it. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. You want the peace of God? Practice it. Here's a time to practice, even tonight. Many times when we open up the floor to prayer, maybe two people will pray. Two out of what? Maybe 15 to 20 folk. Two. Is that old saying? No prayer, no power, little prayer, little power, much prayer, much power. Do we even need to put prayer time as a part of this time if we don't want to really pray? I mean, we need it, especially now. Maybe we can practice it tonight. I don't want you to pray tonight just because you feel guilty, because the preacher says so. I don't want you to do that. No. And I know how it is as a young Christian to be intimidated to pray out loud, because there was a time when somebody asked me to pray out loud, and I said, no! You never thought I'd become a preacher, don't you? So I'm not saying that, but there is, if you look at every great Christian movement, it started with prayer. Every great Christian movement. And it's like I feel over this church like God wants to bust the seams and the raptures open and pour out the windows of heaven and pour out blessing that we won't have room enough to receive, but we won't pray. Everybody can sense it. Okay, if we can sense it, why is it not happening? Maybe because we're not practicing. Maybe because we're not practicing. So, tonight, I don't even want you to pray tonight, because I don't want you to pray out of guilt, because God ain't going to answer those prayers no way. But tonight, I do want you to pray in your mind, pray in your mind for our church, because the devil, boy, he's always up to something up in here. Because he say, boy, if I let these folk loose, they're going to take over the world. Hello? So I want us all to pray tonight, but I want you to pray in your head. I want you to pray for this church. Pray for wisdom. Pray for unity. Pray for harmony. Pray for love. Pray for forgiveness. We need all of that. Pray for revival. Can anybody tell me what Matthew 7 says before we go into our prayer time? 7:24. Amen. Is this church built on the rock? Because if it is, nothing the devil puts against us can prosper. Is it on the rock? We need to put the word into practice. Amen. So I'm going to pause right now, and I want you to pray.
Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of a living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We would love believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church, you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby. And you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise the Lord. Hello again, this is Pastor Michael E. Tom, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in an economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.